Welcome to the My Mickey podcast, where we explore the magic and wonder of Disney together. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the My Mickey podcast. I'm Karen, the owner of My Mickey Vacation Travel. Let me introduce you to some of my friends that have joined me today. First is my good friend Danny, also known as Dr. Disney. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
And we also have your lovely wife, Stacy, who is also one of my fellow dream designers with My Mickey Vacation Travel. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm glad you can join us today. And last but certainly not least is my Disney-loving husband, Jeff. Hi, honey.
Hi, sweetie.
Well, I'm glad you were all able to join me here today. I thought we would talk about Disney's Animal Kingdom. It's hard to believe, but they are celebrating their 20-year anniversary on this weekend. I can't believe they've opened up in April 22nd of 1998. They've come a long way.
They really have. This is something we've talked about. I think we talked about this recently, Stacy and myself. We were talking about if there would ever be a fifth gate, you know, a fifth park at Walt Disney World, and we looked at the dates that all the parks opened and what year, and there was always like anywhere from like 8 to 10 years in between each one, and now it has been 20 years since Walt Disney World opened a new theme park, and it's hard to believe that Animal Kingdom's been around that long. And I don't know, it doesn't seem that long, but when you think back to it, it opened 1 year after my first college program in 99, and it was still brand new, and everything was exciting, and it's hard to believe it's been 2 decades.
Yes, and it's a completely different park from what it was. They've done so much with it. I remember we went just a couple months after it had opened, and it pretty much was just, you know, it was a huge park, always has been a huge park, but they pretty much just had the Kilimanjaro Safari and a few of the shows that we'll chat about. But other than that, you could tell, and especially due to the size of it, there was so much to be thought about for the future that they've had open since then, with Pandora and the new attractions and shows and all that. But in the very beginning, there wasn't really a whole lot there, but you can tell a lot of good things were about to come.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite things was always Countdown to Extinction, CTX, which is now Dinosaur. And that was there when it opened, I remember. And there was no Everest. There was no Pandora. There was no Finding Nemo show. Even at the time, my favorite show, you know, Festival of Lion King was there. But it was in a different location at the time. I don't know. Animal Kingdom has really come a long way. And there was also the Journey into the Jungle Book stage show, which, you know, now that makes 2 Jungle Book shows that didn't quite work out in Animal Kingdom, but they tried.
I miss Camp Minnie Mickey. You mentioned a minute ago about Lion King being in a different location, because it originally started in Camp Minnie Mickey, which is now where Pandora is. And I always thought that it was such a quaint little area of the park.
I love Camp Minnie Mickey. I think that was something that, don't get me wrong, I think Pandora is amazing. And of course, I wouldn't take that away for anything. But I do miss Camp Minnie Mickey. I really wish we could have kept some of the things that are there and maybe move them to another area of the park.
And yeah, the one thing that I wish they had there still was the Guitar Dan. He would roam around that little, right outside where the Lion King, Festival of the Lion King show was, and he had his guitar, and he would walk up to families and kids and literally write a song on the spot about them. And we had gone on one of McKenna's first trips when she was 3 back in 2004, and he spotted her and her curly little hair and her blankie and sang a whole song about it. And that was such a highlight to our trip and what memories that we had from him. And then when we saw him later on in 2008, when we went back, we saw him again and he saw her and he sang another song to her after we told him that what wonderful memories we had from her first trip there. So it really was a special area. We miss not having him there in that area.
It was funny because we've been wondering over time, you know, since Camp Minnie Mickey closed, whatever happened to Guitar Dan. Mm-hmm. And we had heard he kind of worked out to Rakifi's Planet Watch, that area, for a little while. But then he just kind of up and disappeared. And A couple months ago, I was over at Universal Studios for a conference, and we went and saw a Caribbean show over at Sapphire Falls. And lo and behold, the host of the show was Dan. And so after the show, I got to go up and talk to him, and I, you know, kind of relayed Karen's memories of him singing to McKenna when she was young. And he was very moved and very touched that we actually remembered him from those days and the impact that he had on our memories at the park. And I pulled my iPhone out and turned the video on, and he turned right around like he never dropped a beat, and just he wrote a new song for McKenna right on the spot. Just a couple months ago. So that was really cool. It was good to see him again.
That is pretty neat. I mean, I'll say, first of all, I love Sapphire Falls, so good mention there. But aside from that, I knew of Dan. I had heard of him. I never happened to see him. In all the times I went to the Animal Kingdom, I never happened to come across him. I don't know. I know many people have spoken of him and loved him, and that's one of the things they miss. And I know, like, Camp Minnie Mickey, I really do miss too. And like, I know Stacy recently mentioned some of the things she missed from there, and we were talking about it, and it's the little statues that she really liked.
Oh yeah, the where you could see Huey, Dewey, and Louie. They were
going fishing, I think, with Donald.
Yeah, going fishing with Donald. I think mm-hmm. that was something I always loved going to see. We took a picture. I would always take my niece Reagan there. And I have a picture of her standing next to that from the time she was so small until now she's older. And we were just there the other day. And I thought, now that I'm here every single time, it makes me think of Reagan. It's one of her favorite parks to go to now. So I love going back there. But I really miss seeing that. I wish they hadn't taken that away.
I know they're cute. I wonder if they moved into another part of the park. Have you noticed if they did?
I haven't mm-mm. seen them anywhere. I do see that picture posted so many times, and I'll tell you a time people always post it is around Father's Day. People post that around Father's Day a lot. So,
despite the fact that he's their uncle.
Yeah, well, he is.
But they do. It's true. It's always posted.
We'll take care of them. It's okay.
I know, but it's true. And yeah. I do see it every Father's Day.
One of the things that I hear a lot, especially when we're talking with clients, is they kind of dismiss Animal Kingdom for being a zoo. And, you know, we know the safari and we had the walkthroughs and, you know, some of the elements there that do feature the live animals, but Animal Kingdom is not a zoo.
Not bad.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-mm.
No. On any shape or form. There's so much more to offer there other than just a zoo. I mean, of course, there's the attractions. I mean, we have some of the better attractions that Disney has to offer, and especially now with Pandora, with Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey, of course. But, I mean, you can't not mention Everest and Dinosaur and even Tough to Be a Bug. I mean, those are so fun.
Cali River Rapids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. That's amazing, too. But I mean, I think one of the great things about Animal Kingdom are the shows and just walking around and hearing the music. I mean, I love when you walk into Africa near the safari and the live music is playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And you don't get that anymore in a lot of the parks. I remember in Epcot years ago, and I'm probably telling my age, they used to have the parades in Epcot. Do y'all mm-hmm. remember that?
Yes, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And they had that, well, they also had that double-decker bus that would go around World Showcase. Yeah.
And you would hear the live music all the time. And it's just like, I think now we hear it more in Canada sometimes, but you just don't get that feel from mm-hmm. the other parks that you do in Animal Kingdom. And no, it's not just a zoo. And you get that more just in that park.
Well, you're totally immersed in Animal Kingdom Park. The safari part, where people would assume that it's similar to going to a zoo, there's a huge difference to going to a zoo where you see animals in cages and you're walking by. I mean, at the Kilimanjaro Safari, you are literally immersed in, like you are in Africa, and the animals are in their natural habitats, and you really could swear that you're in the savanna with the elephants and the hippos and they're in the water and all that. It's a totally different experience, and getting to ride in those big jeeps, open air jeeps, is kind of cool too. And all of it's just amazing. It's nowhere near. And each time you go, it's different.
It is. And what you're saying right there and what Stacy was saying about how it immerses you inside Animal Kingdom, that's one of the things that I also may be dating myself here, but I miss about Walt Disney World. And, you know, as they continue to grow the parks and as they continue to grow the resort and everything, there is a lot that isn't as separated as it used to be. And I know some things just aren't feasible or possible, but I remember when I was a cast member at Magic Kingdom almost 20 years ago now, when I went, you know, when I was working in Liberty Square and I was in a Liberty Square costume, I was not allowed to go through Fantasyland or Frontierland because that's not, you know, I wasn't a part of that story. And at Animal Kingdom, that's exactly how it is. When you're in Africa, you're over there and you know what's going on and you hear the live music and you feel like you're in that section. And then when you go over to Pandora, they made it so that it wasn't even like you're in Disney World. It's like you are transported to another land, another time, another dimension, and you're with Ace and you're hanging out with those people and the scientists, and you're actually in Pandora. You go to Dino Land, you're immersed in that. I love that aspect of Animal Kingdom, that you're where you're supposed to be only at that moment.
Exactly. And not all of us are blessed where we can travel all around the world or going to Africa or going to magical places like World of Avatar and Pandora, you know, but being able to do this, go to Disney World, can take you to different places and really have that full experience.
And the cast members are from the regions that you're representing as well. So you're not only immersed in the visual and the audio of the culture you're in, but the people you interact with as well. Karen is right. I mean, regardless of which land you're in, you're 100% immersed in that area.
Well, and I think too, Animal Kingdom is one part that when you talk about being immersed, they even down to, and I think I always mention food. I'm the one
who does that. Yes. That's important.
I know. But the food is just so authentic in Animal Kingdom, and it is authentic to the area you're in. You just can't go to Animal Kingdom and not try the food in each area. And even when we went to Pandora, when it first opened, I was like, what do you expect? How are they going to make this just to this area? But they did somehow make food for Pandora. And it is different, but it's so good. But eating the food over in Africa is so good. But I love going around to the different, I don't know what else to call them other than like the food trucks or the carts. Mm. And there's so many different things to try and that it offers. So I really think it's just a place to always go. And people talk about maybe doing a table service there. And there are great table service options in Animal Kingdom, but there's so many great quick service options.
What's your favorite one?
Flame Tree, of course.
Flame Tree?
Yes, it's Flame Tree. And it's probably my favorite one in all of Disney World, I hate to say, but it's so good. That's the best cornbread you'll ever eat.
Yes, and those ribs.
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
They are good. My new favorite, I think, now is the quick service over at Harambe Village. Jeff and I went there a couple months ago, and it's kind of hidden back there. You really kind of have to find it, but it's within that village, kind of where towards just before Kilimanjaro Safari is. But they have like almost like little kiosks for different kinds of food set up. And the one that we went to was like an Indian themed. We had the best Indian chicken. I think it was tikka masala we had with rice and naan bread. I mean, it was fabulous. It was something you would get at a real table service Indian restaurant. It was fantastic. It was great.
I don't think I've ever eaten there. I'll have to try it.
I loved it. And even Jeff liked it. And he's not a big fan of fancy kind of food like that. But
fancy. But that's the thing about Animal Kingdom is it's not just quick service. It's not as in, oh, I want a burger. I want chicken fingers. I want something like that. They keep the theme going. And that's what I like about it. And that's what I was talking about is sometimes missing at some of the other Disney parks is they theme every aspect of what you're doing there. Yes, there may be some options that are out of theme, but you know, they need to give something for kids and some people that just don't like other certain things. But when you go over to Africa or you go to Dinoland or you go to Pandora, you're going to get these themed and specific items that you won't get anywhere else in Walt Disney World. So if you want to try it, you have to go to Animal Kingdom, and it only adds to the excitement and everything else you can do at the park.
Exactly. And they still have pizza. They still have the Pizzafari there. Pizzafari.
I think whenever we went to Harambe Village for our quick service, and trust me, I am a Flame Tree Barbecue guy myself, and that is kind of my staple, my go-to, because it's safe, and I am a picky eater, so barbecue ribs, that half chicken, and the cornbread, I'm all over it. What interested me about the Harambe lunch that day, other than just being a really good husband and supporting my wife who wanted to eat something different, was just that atmosphere in there, because it's I mean, if you looked at it like bird's eye, it just kind of looks like a big food court. It's outdoor seating and you know, the little kiosks around. But the artwork in there and the things they have up on the walls to just kind of represent that you're in an African village marketplace. That was what captured me about that area, as well as the food. It was just, you were immersed and you just kind of forgot that you're sitting in central Orlando. You really felt like you were in an African marketplace. It was really, really well done the way they just created that atmosphere. The one thing I did want to add about the immersive experience with the food is with the addition of the alcoholic beverages to the dining plan. And all I can say is it was really nice being able to have that $13 glass of slushy wine with my lunch.
Well, that's right. I forgot we had that. That was delicious. That was very refreshing.
It was so good on a hot day.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Speaking of, one more thing, so we don't talk about food for an entire hour and a half. speaking of slushy wine, though, Stacy will attest to this, but have y'all had one of those, like, what was it, the Night Blossom drinks over in Pandora?
Yes.
I have not had that yet. I've got to have that when I go down next month, but I hear wonderful things about it.
So good.
I think from you, Stacey.
Yeah, so good. You have to try that. That is amazing.
I'm not a tequila drinker. Haven't been for about 20 years, but we got it. I tasted it. I was like, oh, that's really good. And then I just kind of started looking around, and then I looked back and it was gone because Stacey had drank it.
And I'll tell you, the non-alcoholic drink they have there is really, really refreshing. I like
that. Oh, it is. It's good.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. That, I mean, those are great. That's probably my favorite drink in the park now.
I agree.
Yeah.
What were you were going to ask about Tarzan.
Yeah, I didn't know how to lead into that. So how do
you can just mention loincloths, because that's what he wears.
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's a great transition.
I mean,
we need to have a talk after we're done recording.
I mean, it's sad, but thankfully he's still there and he does meet and greets, and he is in his costume, I mean, his loincloth there. I don't know what he does in the winter.
Speaking of alcoholic beverages.
How many have you had today?
You know, when my kids were young, we used to go to Camp Mini Mickey and do all the parks. And whenever I had that non-alcoholic slushy over at Pandora, all I could think about was how much the kids would like those when they were young, because we always searched out the slushies and the anything cold like that. Cause I remember their favorite was when we used to go see the Tarzan show, we would always get those, you know, those frozen lemonades and the strawberry lemonades that you sit there with a wooden spoon and eat. That was kind of our staple when we went and saw that show, was having those frozen desserts. And that's kind of my big memory of the Tarzan show, was having those little dessert treats. But I miss Tarzan.
Tarzan is my favorite show ever at Disney. I miss it so much.
I miss it. She's passionate, obviously.
Obviously. So much talent. But, yeah. I wish they hadn't taken it. Of course, I do love the Nemo show, but nothing like the Tarzan show. So I think we can, you can still see something similar at Disneyland. at Mickey and the Magical Map, and even on the Disney Cruise Line, they do a section from Tarzan in one of their stage shows. But nothing quite like the full Tarzan show that they used to do at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, but see, there are no rollerbladers on the ship.
No, no rollerbladers on the ship. I think they do have them in Mickey and the Magical Map.
Yeah,
they
I think
do
so.
Have but it's just for one song, one section, not the full stage show.
I always liked in that show, and I'm a musician, so it was really cool to see that they actually had a live band playing, and they integrated the musicians into the show as well. I always thought that was a fun aspect of that show.
It was a great show. I enjoyed the show.
It really was, and it was my favorite show. And like again, I go back. That was my first college program, was summer of '99, and that's the summer that Tarzan was released in theaters. And I mean, I'll say it. It's my favorite Disney animated movie, and it always has been. And I love Tarzan Rocks. I would watch it religiously. We'd go and see it like 3 or 4 times a week with people that I was in the program with. And I love the rollerbladers, the live band, the music, the songs. And I know, you know, that we all love Phil Collins. So, you know, I know Jeff is a huge Phil Collins fan, and Stacey and I had You'll Be in My Heart in our wedding. It was the song we actually walked. Yeah, it was the song we walked out to on the Disney Dream when we got married, because it's my favorite movie. That song means a lot to me. That song means a lot to Stacey. And I know things have to change. I'm one of those that, you know, wishes there could be a way to have more things, but I understand you have to move on.
So here's keep your Google closed. Do you know how long it's been since Tarzan closed at the park, since that show went away?
Oh, gosh, no. I would say 2002, maybe?
It's 2006. It's been 12 years since that thing.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
I knew it. 2006 was 12 years ago. Good gracious.
That's a whole nother conversation.
That's disappointing.
I couldn't remember when it was. I knew it was a while because they didn't.
It had a 7-year run there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good
Which
show.
Is impressive.
It well, is very impressive.
After that, they took it to Broadway. So, right. But it still wasn't the same. You know, they didn't incorporate all that on Broadway. It was quite different. So, but it was still amazing. I hate that it's not. I hate that they don't have it now. And I hate we don't have more live shows like that at Disney World. I miss, like you said, the musicians and the live vocalist and things like that, which we used to have all the time.
Which kind of leads me into where I was wanting to talk about another difference in the parks, which is at Animal Kingdom, which is now we're finding that in the last year or two, Animal Kingdom is no longer that half-day park that closes at 5. It's now opening into the evening. And so we are seeing some elements of that live music at coming back, which is good at Animal Kingdom, that little area there right across from
Flame Tree.
Right across from there, they have that live band that comes out and plays late afternoon, early evenings with a big dance party. And then, of course, I think Stacey mentioned earlier over in Harambe, the live music that they have there as well in the evenings, which is a really neat element to kind of see those live bands coming in. So it's nice to see that there is a return. I do miss the live music when I compare, say, Disneyland, which has a lot more of it, to Walt Disney World. I'm very happy to see that in the last year, though, they're using live entertainment as a medium to expand park hours, as one of the elements to expand park hours.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that a lot of people have seen in the Disney groups and, you know, on Twitter and I'm So Disney and everything. A lot of people are talking about how Magic Kingdom, a lot of the park hours already released for summer, the park's closing at 10 p.m. many nights. And everybody's like, oh, well, hopefully they'll extend it. And they may extend park hours, yeah, but as Jeff just said, with the entertainment options that they have, and every single one of the 4 Walt Disney World parks now has a nighttime show. Some have 2. At, you know, Hollywood Studios, you've got Fantasmic and Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular. At Epcot, you have Illuminations. Magic Kingdom, you've got Happily Ever After and Once Upon a Time. And over at Animal Kingdom now, you know, they've got the live music in Harambe. They've got the live stage near Flame Tree in Dinoland. They've got the Tree of Life Awakenings. They've got the Sunset Safari, Rivers of Light, which, I mean, that in itself is enough reason to go there at night.
And just the lights and walking in the park. I love just walking around Animal Kingdom in the evenings. Now that Pandora is open, it's a completely different park at night. I mean, yes, the attractions are wonderful and you have to get there in the morning to hit both of those, to do all that, but you've got to stay there through the evening time to see Pandora at night. The lights are amazing, and all the little lanterns that are all throughout the park as you're walking, even through Harambe Village and through Discovery Island there. It's just gorgeous there at night.
And as Danny mentioned, Rivers of Light. The newer show, the newer nighttime show we have at Disney. I know it's not really what everyone thought it was going to be. It's not, as people like to say, Disney, but I think it's exactly what Animal Kingdom wanted to portray, and I think it's a great show.
It's beautiful. I love the show. I mean, yes, it's not the big ta-da, like the fireworks at the other parks and things, but they can't do all that with the animals that are there. They have to keep things quiet and low key. But it is a beautiful show. I think the lights are gorgeous. The music is serene. And the fact that you can sit and watch the show and get a seat and not have to line up an hour and a half or 2 hours beforehand to see it, but you can enjoy a nice evening in the park, enjoy the show, sit down, have a Mickey bar, and then walk around after. I think it makes for a great evening.
Well, and as you did mention, it is a nighttime park now. And I really think Pandora, if you don't see Pandora at night, then you haven't seen Pandora. I mean, it is just unbelievable. It literally glows in the dark. And how Disney has done it is beyond me, but it is unreal. So people always, of course, ask me, should we do Animal Kingdom in the morning and maybe do another park at night? No, absolutely not. Do Animal Kingdom all day, or at least if you want to do half and half a day, then I really suggest you see Animal Kingdom at night, because I think seeing Pandora at night is just unbelievable. And then hop over to Rivers of Light and check out the show, because it is a great show.
You know, Animal Kingdom used to be the excuse to buy a park hopper, because you would go to Animal Kingdom during the day or maybe take a nap late afternoon. But then in the evening, you had to go to another park because Animal Kingdom was closed. And so now, of course, back then you'd have to have a park hopper to do that. Now, Animal Kingdom is a full-day park, and even if you have the little ones and you want to go back to the resort and take a swim or take a nap, you can return back to Animal Kingdom in the evening and take part in the evening, and it becomes a whole new park. And so I think I like that, because just the essence of it being a full-day park actually removes that need to have a park hopper now for a lot of folks, and it's almost a money saver.
I agree. I mean, just alone, though, people don't realize how much you have to do, and they'll say, you've got the wait times for Pandora and that'll take that much. And I mean, if you plan properly, you can do everything in Animal Kingdom in a day, but it will take the day. And when you get to the night and you have the evening fall down and you have 3 or 4 hours of darkness, it's like Stacey said, it's a completely different park. The Tree of Life is a different beast entirely in the evening, with the awakenings happening every few minutes. And Pandora, it's like you didn't even see the place during the day because it looks so completely different. It's just Animal Kingdom has really transformed itself from being a couple of attractions open 20 years ago to being a park that you'll probably want to spend at least one full day, maybe a day and a half to 2 days, if you have a 4 or 5 day trip to Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karen mentioned at the very beginning of this episode that April 22nd is the 20th anniversary of the park, and Disney is rolling out the red carpet to celebrate. And so we have some new things coming to celebrate. And I guess April 22nd is Earth Day as well, so they're kind of tying it all together. So we have a new show debuting officially April 22nd, but I guess it's going into soft opening before that. It's the debut of Up, A Great Bird Adventure. So, Danny, what do you know about that show?
Well, I know so far is that we're going to have Russell and Doug. They're going to be there with some of their exotic birds from around the world, and They're going to make sure that everyone knows how brilliant a senior wilderness explorer such as Russell actually is. I love Russell and Doug from Up. I love the meet and greet they used to have over by It's Tough to Be a Bug. So giving them a show and having them like kind of, it's kind of like, you know, Up meets Flights of Wonder, which closed down to make way for this new attraction. And I'm glad they're doing it. I think it's a great touch. I think Up needed a little bit more representation. And Disney found a way to incorporate it into Animal Kingdom for, you know, making sure that, you know, they are environmentally friendly and that everybody learns a lesson. And while you're having fun, you're actually going to be educated on it. I think this is perfect. I think this is exactly what Animal Kingdom's about. And just like Stacey said with Rivers of Light, it's not overly Disney, even though there are slight touches of it. It's focused on what the theme of Animal Kingdom is. This show is going to be the same way, focus on the theme of Animal Kingdom, but throw in some fun steps of Disney in there along the way.
And I think having Russell and Doug makes a lot of sense because you had that tie-in with the movie, because the whole concept of the movie was that exotic bird. What was his name? Kevin?
Kevin.
Yeah. And so that integration into this exotic bird show, I think, makes so much sense. And you're right. It's a great integration with the movie and the show, and keeping, you know, kind of keeping the elements of Flights of Wonder, which was a fun show. And just kind of adding this Disney thing to it, I think makes a lot of sense. It's I think it's going to be a fun show to watch.
Well, they're starting it just in time for Disney's Incredible Summer.
Right.
Which will be great. I'm excited for that. So many fun things.
Earth Day, they're doing for about a week or 2 week stretch, I think up until May 5th, out at Rakifi's Planet Watch. They're doing some backstage experiences. They're going to have some animal experts there where you can talk about nutrition and talk about wildlife conservation. They already do a lot of that out there, but I think they're just going to make a little more concerted effort to kind of focus on those things. It's called Party for the Planet for this, what is that, about a 14-day period. Mm-hmm. And they said they're even going to allow some visits into the veterinary hospital, which is kind of cool. So I don't know details on that, but that could be kind of neat too.
Isn't Doc McStephens usually back there?
I think so.
Yeah, Doc's back there. And yeah, Doc McStephens is back there for a meet and greet daily at Rafiki's Planet mm-hmm. Watch. And if you're lucky, you can maybe catch a surgery.
Ooh.
No, I was being sarcastic.
Oh. Have you guys heard about these, what they're calling Tiffin Talks? They're having, I guess they're going to bring these animal experts in. They're going to have these themed dinners at Tiffin's with these animal experts. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I think that's going to be very similar to Dining with an Imagineer, that it's going to be an animal expert.
That's the way I've taken it as well, is just like the Dining with an Imagineer. I think this is great. Tiffin's is one of those brand new restaurants that's only been around about a year now. And it's got some great food, great options. It's one of the most beautifully decorated restaurants on property. I love it inside there. And being able get this is this goes all hand in hand with everything we've said about Animal Kingdom being a guest interaction friendly park. It's with not just the live music and the dance parties and stuff like that, but guests are not going to be able to just have a great meal, but they're going to sit there and be able to, you know, learn firsthand from these animal experts about different things that they may never even accidentally hear about throughout their normal daily lives. And here they're going to be able to learn things that they probably never would even think about.
Yeah, I was looking at the list of speakers that they have. They're going to have various different conservation directors. They're having six of them. There's six different events. Each has a different speaker. They're having the director of animal and science operations. They're going to be talking about gorilla rehabilitation. They're going to be talking about the birds and their conservation efforts towards birds. Elephants, they're going to have a research scientist speak about elephants and bees project and keeping honeybees alive and helping elephants in Kenya. And the true Disney geeks will love this one. Veteran Imagineer Joe Rohde is going to have a dinner one night. And so he will be talking about his adventures all over Asia and Nepal and China. And the chef is actually going to prepare meals to tie into his story. So a neat new element. I hope that's something that continues beyond this Earth Day celebration, and maybe we'll see that continue on. I love the idea.
I think it could be. It could be something that they continue dependent on the popularity of it, and I can't see how it wouldn't be, especially with the possibility of, you know, Joe Rohde being there and just some of these other experts that are going to be around. And I mean, people need to realize just how much went into the creation of a Disney's Animal Kingdom. And for the, I mean, some people may realize it, but that park is Joe Rohde's baby. And I mean, he still, to this day, 20 years later now, talks about it all the time on his social media accounts and mm-hmm. in person. And, you know, it's great to bring in these people that care so much about what the direction of Animal Kingdom is and what it will do for the rest of the world. So, I mean, Disney's really on a huge pedestal with this park, and they're continuing to promote it as such, and they should. I'm glad they're doing these kinds of things.
And if you are that Disney fan and you want to see Joe Rohde and get to meet him, he will actually be at the parks on the 22nd over at the Discovery Trading Company. They're going to have some special merchandise for the Party for the Planet period of time. And he's actually an artist as well. A lot of people don't know that. And so he's going to have a special print that he created, and he will be there from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock on the 22nd, signing autographs and selling his prints. So if you are a Joe Rohde fan and want to get to say hi and thank him for all the work he's done at Animal Kingdom, that's your opportunity. Oh, and one other thing coming up too, I forgot about Dinotastic Celebration. We have to talk about that.
Yeah, that starts Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, it does not start this weekend. A lot of people have been confused about that. It is not starting for Earth Day.
Right. That comes Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yes, that is correct.
And who are the rarely seen characters at that event? Scrooge McDuck.
I wonder who else, Danny. Let's see.
Go ahead, Stacey. Okay, I'm going to stop you there for a second after hearing Launchpad McQuack, because it has come to our attention recently that our dear friend Karen. Karen, what show have you never seen?
I have never seen DuckTales.
Okay, stop right there.
I know.
Okay,
I know.
Everybody can take that in for a minute. She has not seen DuckTales. She has not seen Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck. The entire Disney afternoon has somehow eluded Karen, despite the fact that she has children.
This is true. Yes. So it is on my list of things to watch perhaps this weekend, definitely before Memorial Day weekend, because I do want to go, and, you know, I don't want to miss Launchpad. Is it Launchpad McQuack or McDuck? Is it McQuack?
It's McQuack.
It's McQuack.
Okay. McQuack.
You don't ask for a picture with any of them until you've at least watched them.
I know who Scrooge McDuck is.
That's only because you've seen A Christmas Carol.
Oh, that's true.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
Is that only because you've seen A Christmas Carol?
Yes.
I thought
I do love that one. And I'm not going to mention in this conversation that Stacey has not seen Snow White. I'll save that for another one.
Mention that. Yeah.
I'm not going to mention that.
Yeah. Don't mention it now, of course. Now.
That's a drop.
That's okay. Yeah. We'll wait on another time to say that.
Yeah, we'll wait for another time. Maybe we'll have to have a movie night together. We'll watch all the DuckTales and...
Trust me, I'll never live that down. Because she's Danny's favorite princess and my sister's favorite princess.
Exactly.
I think now I'm just doing it out of spot.
I refuse to watch it at this point. Just for the principle of it. Oh, my heavens. Yeah, so I guess we have some movies and TV to watch, Stacey, I think.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm so excited for Memorial Day to be able to go over and see them. It's going to be great. I really am excited, though.
It sounds cute.
I mean, aside from Scrooge McDuck and that stranger Launchpad McQuack, we have Chip and Dale, who will also be dressed as dinosaurs.
Oh, how fun.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
That is everything that I need.
Yeah. And I love how the fact that the characters get into character and they just make for fun photo opportunities. You know, you think you've seen Chippendale before, but you really haven't. You've got to see them and they have their new attire and as dinosaurs. That should make for a fun meet and greet.
And of course, the Dinotastic Celebration is another example of an evening event, because at nighttime, they're going to bring out a DJ and he's going to mix tunes and they're going to have a big old dance party, and I guess the characters are going to be involved. So another fun thing to go to in the evening.
I mean, I'm gonna say it. Animal Kingdom is honestly the park that will have the most to do in the evening. Yes, all the other parks have their attractions still open and everything into the evening hours, but I mean, this new dance party with the DJ at Dino Land, you're going to have the Tree of Life Awakenings, Rivers of Light, Sunset Safari, Harambe Village. There is no shortage of things to do. And the good thing about that is, too, is as Jeff said earlier, it spreads out the crowds a little bit. So don't look for any one section to be too crowded. If something is, you've got a lot of other options.
And I think Karen mentioned earlier, too, it's worth repeating, Animal Kingdom at night, after the sun goes down, becomes a whole new experience. It is not the same experience you had during the day.
Nope, far from it. Far from it. It's a different park. It really is. Even the attractions, because of, like, Sunset Safari.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sunset Safari is, first of all, they have animals come out in the evening that aren't out during the day, which is really kind of cool, too. And it is a real neat experience, because it takes on a whole different, the way they have the lighting set up, and it really feels like it's a constant sunset. And it's a real neat, I mean, you got to look a little harder for some of the animals, but I'm going to tell you, those guides who are driving the vehicles out there, they know where the animals are, and they will point them out, and they can find them in the shadows. And it's really neat. And one of the things I always like, too, is it seems that the lion and the lionesses up on the rock are usually a little bit more active in the evening time during that sunset period. So if you're fans of them, that's a really good time to go try and catch them as well.
I it's weird you say that, because I remember the first time we ever did the Sunset Safari last year. I mean, the very first time we did it, we rode past the, I always call it Pride Rock. We rode past that area where the lion and lioness are. And I mean, I've been going to this park for 20 years, and I used to visit it almost daily when I was in the college program, and I've never heard the lions roar. Mm-hmm. And that first Sunset Safari, the entire time we drove past Pride Rock, we heard them roaring and grumbling and growling. And it was amazing, because I had never heard them that active in almost 20 years.
The only time I've ever heard them roar was during a Sunset Safari as
That's
well.
That's so weird.
Yep. So there you go. There's your big tip if you're a big lion fan.
You can tell Danny lives in real life. He calls it Pride Rock.
What do you call it?
The Lion's Den?
Oh.
I almost called it Pride Rock earlier and cracked myself.
So. Sorry.
Well, it's a rock.
It's good. It is a rock. And there's a pride of lions on it.
It is. Are we going to talk about how Disney pumps heat into the park at all, or are we going to skip over that part?
I think we can skip over that part. Because if we talk about that, we got to talk about the big dome they put over to keep the rain out and all that.
How they purposely cut down as many trees to make more sun come in. And,
right.
I've been trying to think the whole time, and we don't have to go back and talk about her, but what is the girl's name?
Divine.
Divine.
I knew that's where you were going.
I could not think of her name.
Divine. Ivy. Oh, that's right. Yes, I forgot about her.
So you just made up a name for her?
I kept picking Ivy. Which, if they ever need another one,
Ivy is friends with Launchpad McDuck.
That's right. Well, I enjoyed that chat about Disney's Animal Kingdom and how much they've changed over 20 years. I'm looking forward to visiting the park soon and checking it all out. So, thank you all for joining us today in the My Mickey podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's chat. Be sure to visit us at mymickeypodcast.com and check out Dr. Disney at drdisney.com and search for Dr. Disney on Facebook. This episode is brought to you by the Dream Designers of My Mickey Vacation Travel. For help in booking and planning your next Disney destination vacation, please visit mymickeyvacation.com. We'll see you next week.